Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Yeah, they still apply. Those house rules we put together at the beginning, and I still feel like they're pretty standard set of ways to get along with your host. It is After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We've got the NFL draft in 1 week, as if we've got time for the NFL draft, but it happens right in the middle of April and first round playoff series. And you know how the NFL feels about giving up some of its spotlight or allowing any other sport into the center ring of the circus. Jealous, very jealous. And so the NFL will hold its annual draft this time from AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, beginning on Thursday evening, April 26th. It'll be a 7 o'clock Central Time start, so 7 o'clock Arlington time, 8 o'clock Eastern time. And there's like 17 different places you can watch the coverage. Funny, you had to watch hockey on the Golf Channel on Wednesday night, but you can watch the NFL draft on, I think, three different networks, as well as online and a variety of websites. So you don't have to worry. You will not be shut out from draft coverage. All right, we're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How many quarterbacks do you think go in the top five picks? Actually, let's expand it. How many QBs do you think go in the top 10 picks? All right, that's our question about the draft. After all the chatter about these QBs, how many go in the top 10? So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. But you're going to have to wait, because we're really excited to welcome our former CBS colleague, who's now senior NFL draft analyst with NFLDraftScout.com. Dane Brugler is joining us. And Dane, the Cleveland Browns have said they don't know what they're doing with their number one pick yet. But if you were the Browns picking at the top of this 2018 draft, considering all the work you've done to look at these quarterbacks, who would you take?
To me, the top quarterback is Sam Darnold, USC quarterback. And look, the Browns, we know 2 years ago they passed Carson Wentz. Last year they passed Deshaun Watson. They have the top pick in one of the better quarterback classes we've seen the last few years. And with Sam Darnold, he's the youngest of the group. He's the least experienced, yet I feel really comfortable with who he is already. And I feel even more comfortable with who he'll be 2 to 3 years from now. He shows he can command the mental battle that it takes at the quarterback position. He can anticipate passing windows. He's really good improvising on the move, throwing from different platforms, just creating a little bit of magic under pressure when it doesn't look like it's there. Does he need to cut down on the turnovers? Yeah, he does. There's no question. But that's something that I think will come with more experience. And so if I'm the Browns, Darnold is where I'm going at number one.
What's one thing that sets him apart from this group? Because there are a few other QBs that a lot of people are anticipating will go relatively early.
I think, you know, I can point to so many different games, so many different situations where he put the team on his back, and, you know, whether it be in the final minutes, you know, 2 minute drill, whatever. He has some special throws, especially in late game moments and clutch moments. That's what I'm pointing to that really kind of sets him apart from some of these other guys. Especially, you know, the other quarterback who is in the conversation for that number one pick. At least that's what the rumor mill tells us, Josh Allen out of Wyoming. And there's a lot to like about Josh Allen, but where I struggle with him is I can't really point to one game where he took it over. You know, he had a little bit of magic himself where he led his team back from a deficit, or, you know, he didn't play with a lot of future NFL guys. But I also didn't see him elevate the talent around him on a consistent basis that helped lead the wins. And so for me, that's what separates those two. And I think that's what separates Darnold from the rest of this group.
How much of that can be taught, Dane?
when we talk about the quarterback position, it's really an intangible position. You know, the ability to create something that's not there. And I think Baker Mayfield has a little bit of that. We've seen that over the past few years. You know, Josh Rosen out of UCLA, he had one of the best comebacks ever in college football history in the season opener against A&M early last season. So I think those guys have shown it. And so that's encouraging. If you've done it once, you can do it again. But I do think that Sam Darnold does it on more of a consistent basis. And with Darnold, he didn't play quarterback really until his senior year in high school. He was a linebacker, wide receiver as a sophomore. He was expected to be the starting quarterback as a junior, but he got hurt. And then so really just his senior year in high school and then the past 2 years at USC, he's been playing quarterback at a high level. And so even with that inexperience, like I said, I feel good about who he is right now, and I feel even better about where he's going to be year two, year three in the NFL after a little more coaching, a little more polish on his game.
He's a senior NFL draft analyst for NFLDraftScout.com, and his draft guide is out. It's a thing of beauty. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Where do you fall in the Baker Mayfield debate about his value in the NFL down the road?
With Baker, you're really encouraged by the accuracy that he shows. He's the type of competitor you want to bet against. The biggest worry for me is just transitioning from an Oklahoma offense that was tailor-made for his skill set and what he does and against Big 12 defenses, and then playing behind a really strong offensive line that really kept him clean, gave him the time to work across the field, make whole field reads. Work down the seam. Can he consistently make those outside the number throws in the NFL that he'll need to make on a consistent basis to be a consistent NFL starter? To me, I see a guy stylistically similar to like a Jeff Garcia. And that's not, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, Jeff Garcia, people forget, was a, went to a couple Pro Bowls in his peak with the 49ers. I mean, you can win with players like that. And so with Baker, as long as you are comfortable with the person that he is, the competitive nature that he can kind of, hone it in a little bit when he needs to, and it's not going to be a problem, I think you feel comfortable with him as a player and as a person. So you're going to look at him in the first round, and he's going to be awfully appealing, especially when some of these other top quarterbacks, if they go ahead of him.
Looking at your mock draft, I hope this is the latest one, but the mock draft that I have up in front of me, you've got four quarterbacks going in the first five picks and Baker going at number three to the Jets. Why do you think it might be a good fit there?
I think what Baker offers, he can inject some life into that offense. And he's a guy that can start pretty quickly in his career. A guy like Sam Darnold, if he goes to Cleveland, that'd be a great situation with Tyrod Taylor set up. He doesn't have to see the field very much as a rookie. Josh Allen, hopefully he goes to a place where he can sit and learn as a rookie. It isn't pressed into action right away. With Baker Mayfield, I think he's a fifth-year senior. He's been around the block a few times. He's walked on the two different programs, and he's faced a lot of adversity. I think he's ready to see NFL action pretty quickly. And for the Jets, Mike Maccagnan, Coach Bowles, these guys, they're on the hot seat, and they need a quarterback to come in and inject a little bit of life, a little bit of energy into the offense, and that's exactly what Baker Mayfield brings.
If one of these other QBs is pressed into service right away, is there one that you think might be able to handle that challenge as a rookie outside of Baker?
Yeah, Josh Rosen, he's so polished from the pocket at such a young age. It's the true junior coming out of UCLA. You know, he's been the number one guy out of high school. He's a five-star recruit, goes to UCLA. There's a lot to like about Josh Rosen. I think if you tell me he's going to an NFL team that has a stacked offensive line that's going to give him time, that's going to keep his jersey clean, then I feel really good about Josh Rosen on the field and what he can offer my team. I think he could be a Matt Ryan, but I am a little worried about his lack of mobility, lack of ability to move the pocket when the play breaks down. He just doesn't have that type of athleticism. And so that's what I worry about. But from an X's and O's standpoint, he's probably one of the best, if not the best, middle of the field passer that I've scouted. Has a really good feel with the tight ends and timing over the middle placement. So as long as he has time, I like him a lot. You worry about the durability. As a guy who had multiple concussions this past year, he missed the second half of his sophomore season with a slight tear in his rotator cuff. And then I've talked to scouts who even bring up an old tennis injury, because he was a really highly ranked tennis player in his youth, and he had to quit because of an injury to his shoulder. And so they bring that up. So durability is a question with Rosen. That could cause him to slip a little bit on draft day.
Isn't that every quarterback's dream, a line in front of him who can keep his uniform clean all the time? I promise we're not going to spend this entire conversation on QBs, but just one more about the quarterback position. There's a bunch of other guys that are in this draft outside of those top kind of four names that we hear over and over. Who's another guy that's maybe more of a sleeper, a name that's not being mentioned as much, that you feel like could also do well in the NFL?
Yeah, and, you know, we have to mention Lamar Jackson as part of that group, a guy who's going to go in the first round. He's definitely part of that mix. But if we're looking at more of a sleeper, you know, a guy that's just not talked about enough, I would lean towards Mike White from Western Kentucky. 6'5", 225 pounds. As long as he's in rhythm, you know, and he's a guy that has the passing instincts, the arm strength. And I mentioned before how the quarterback position is very much an intangible position. Well, just talking to his coaches, they rave about his leadership and what he brings to a locker room, on the field. Western Kentucky had a new coaching staff this year after Coach Brohm left for Purdue. And there were a lot of guys that didn't buy into the new structure, the new coaching staff. And they all pointed to Mike White as kind of the guiding light, the guy that even when everyone wasn't in line with the coaches, everyone was following Mike White, and they kind of he really helped get everyone through that process. And so that leadership, that's what teams are looking for. So Mike White, look for him maybe as early as the second or third round to come off the board.
Dane Brugler of NFLDraftScout.com with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. In your draft guide, you go through a ton of numbers, a lot of the analysis that's numerical. What are a couple that you feel like are really critical and maybe good deterrents about how guys will perform at the next level?
Yeah, I think it's stats definitely have a place when you, you know, I think the tape is what matters the most, but then when you boil it down to the stats and the testing numbers, for me, if we're looking at, say, the production, I look at corners and safeties. I want to see passes defended. That is a stat that translates really well to the NFL game. If you got your hands on a lot of passes as a defensive back in college, chances are you're going to do the same thing in the NFL. And so guys that were three-year starters, started 30-plus games, but also have, you know, 35, 36 passes defended, that's a really good sign. I mean, Minkah Fitzpatrick from Alabama, one of the top DBs in this draft, 38 starts, 35 passes defended. So he's in that mix. Denzel Ward from Ohio State, 13 starts, 26 passes defended. So the guys that can get their hands on the ball, that translates well. And then if we're talking about testing numbers, I want to know how a player does in space. That's what tells me kind of athlete he is. And that's where I really pay attention to the three-cone drill. That helps, you know, if you're a stiff athlete, you are not going to escape the three-cone drill with a good number. And that's something that pass rushers, corners, linebackers, really every position, every skill position, if you have a high, a positive three-cone drill time, if you're in that 6'8" range or lower, that bodes really well for how you're going to do in space at the next level.
When you were talking about cornerbacks and DBs, I was thinking then about the guys they'd be lined up against. Who are some of the receivers that you believe will be stars at the next level?
And I don't think we have that, you know, that Julio Jones, that A.J. Green this year, who is a certain top 10 pick. But I think there is really good depth in the early rounds. Guys like Calvin Ridley from Alabama. What you like most about him is his route running. You know, he's ready to go out of the box. There's no assembly required with Calvin Ridley. He's a guy that can come on, step in from day one, and go up against NFL coverages and be just fine. And, you know, really, we look at the last first rounds, the receivers that have gone high. Last year, we had three receivers in the top 10 with Corey Davis, Mike Williams, John Ross. And, of course, injuries played a part.
Right.
But those guys struggled to see the field. The year before, Corey Coleman, Laquon Treadwell, Josh Doctson with the Redskins. First-round receivers have struggled in past years. I don't think that'll be an issue with Calvin Ridley. Now, I don't think he's going to be that number one guy, that Julio Jones that you can really rely on. But I think he's going to be a really reliable number two. And you need those guys to win in the NFL. And I think he's going to be ready early on. Courtland Sutton from SMU is the interesting one because he has number one potential. A guy who is built really well. I mean, he's 6'3 and a half, 220 pounds, long arms. He can go up and get the football, box out. He's like a power forward on the football field, but he's really raw from a route running perspective. And I think what was really encouraging, I was talking about the three cone drill a little bit ago with Courtland Sutton. He ran a 6'5" 7" three cone drill, which is phenomenal, especially when you consider his size. And so that's encouraging that he'll be able to develop as a route runner because the athleticism is there. It just comes down to muscle memory and getting down the steps and the technique for him to do so. So Courtland Sutton will be interesting. I think there's a good chance he ends up in round one because even though it's going to take a little bit of time, he has number one potential where year two, year three, we look back at this pick in the first round as being a positive one.
What's another position that you feel like will be represented well in this draft?
Well, you know, last year we talked so much about the running backs, and you could make an argument that this year's running back group is even better. It might not have the star power, even though Saquon Barkley certainly is a star, and he could go as early as number two to the Giants. But even if he doesn't, he's not going to fall out of the top 10. And so Saquon Barkley is obviously at the top. But when you look at, you know, the second, third, fourth running backs, there's a lot of guys that you feel can come in and be your guy, be a running back number one on the depth chart. Darius Geis out of LSU, Kerryon Johnson, Auburn, the two Georgia seniors, Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, Rashad Penny. All he did was rush for 2,000 yards this year, and that's a year after he rushed for 1,000 yards as a backup the year before. So this running back group is a lot to be excited about. And if I'm a team picking in the top 10, that might be the reason why I pass on a Saquon Barkley. If you're the Browns and you're picking at number four, you got your quarterback. If Saquon Barkley is available, it'll be awfully enticing, but I also have picks 33, 35, 64.
Right.
I can get one of these running backs, a Nick Chubb in the late second round, and feel great about my running back situation.
He's a senior NFL draft analyst for NFLDraftScout.com. I kind of feel like he's an encyclopedia. You can find him on Twitter at DP Rugler. Can't wait to see how things shake out. Dane, thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Anytime. Thanks, Amy.
And that was just scratching the tip of the iceberg. I mean, what? He could just go on and on and on and on. And I know lots of time on quarterbacks, but that's where a lot of the intrigue is. Not all of it, just some of it. Just, you know, we've had guys on the show, tight end / linebacker. Actually, I guess he was a QB to some as well. And then a defensive back. So we know there are other positions. Are you excited about the draft? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. How many QBs do you think go in the top 10 picks? Last year, we had three in the top 12. This particular draft could put that number to shame. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time to have some fun.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
My mom's actually not that funny. She's funny because she's goofy, not... Yeah, maybe that is where I got it from because I don't think I try to be funny. I think some of the dopey things I do, they make me funny to laugh at, not to laugh with. Like, for instance, this is a true story. I got up on Wednesday afternoon. I put my yoga pants on because I had to walk the dog. And then I was going for a long training run with the half marathon just over a week away. I couldn't figure out why my yoga pants didn't feel quite right. So I got home from walking the dog. By the way, I was outside for probably 25 minutes. I get home from walking the dog and I'm glad I realized this before I went out to run. My pants were on backwards. I mean, I literally walked outside with the dog for 20 minutes and my pants were on backwards. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff happens frequently to me. I'm the person who starts to freak out because I can't find my keys and I'm holding them in my hand, like along with a bunch of other things. You know, you sometimes, or maybe it's just me, sometimes I'm loaded up trying to get into the car and, you know, coming into work. Like tonight was a good example. Because I'm going straight to the airport, I had to put my suitcase in the car. I have my laptop bag. I've got my purse, which I'm going to combine. I've got a water bottle. I've got my coffee. I've got papers that I, you know, that I've been using to take notes and that I need for the trip. And it's one of those nights where you just could have too much in your hands and either drop it all, which I've been known to do, or somehow can't find the keys or the phone and it happens to be in your pocket or you're literally holding them in your hands. So yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yoga pants on backwards would not have been a good way to do today's training run. Thank you so much for all of your encouraging tweets. I had no idea. So as I was getting ready to run, I tweeted something about how I was trying to get myself all psyched up. I didn't really want to. I mean, I had a good 10-minute talking to with myself about you are going on this run, whether you like it or not. And then it was, maybe I'll just go for an hour. But I had a route mapped out. I even told Isaac about it on Wednesday morning. I'm like, I have this route mapped out. It's a little more than 7 miles. I need to do this run. And no matter what, I had to go 90 minutes. So I'm trying to stretch out now. And I did. I went 92 minutes, actually, and I didn't stop. And the last half mile was uphill, and now every muscle in the lower half of my body hurts. You know how the NHL will issue injury reports that say lower body injury? Yeah, that's me. I mean, that pretty much qualifies lower body injuries all over the place. They could pluralize that. So yeah, everything from my hips to my legs to my calves to my toes to the rest of my feet, it just all hurts. Anyway, so you guys are awesome because I think I put in the tweet something about how encouraging words are welcome or inspirational words are welcome. And I was thinking that some runners might reach out to me and, you know, say, oh, you got this, blah, blah, whatever. No, a bunch of you, just tons of you sent me tweets and I didn't see them till after. Obviously, I wasn't reading them while I was running, but they make me not hurt so much. That's not true. I wish that was true. But in a couple days, they'll make me not hurt so much. Anyway, so yes, the 92-minute training run is in the books. And then after that, I downloaded an app on my phone that is already used by 100 million other people, but I was highly resistant. For those of you who listen to the show night in and night out, there's like two or three of you, you may know this because every time I take a trip, I will reference this. And I've had a conversation about this particular app before and why I haven't ever used it in the past. And so some of your answers are cracking me up. I'll give you a couple of hints. I already have Twitter. I already have the Facebook apps. I already have Snapchat since that's my niece's favorite way to keep in touch. And right now my brother and I are having Snapchat wars over whose veggies are growing the tallest and the fastest in the house. He's got a Martian tent. Like, it's a grow tent in his basement. And do you know what it's used for mostly? I'll give you one guess. Do you know what these grow tents are used for mostly?
Illicit substances?
Yeah, that's what they're mostly used for. In fact, he said, if you go online and you Google grow tents, right away, that one of the top things that comes up is marijuana. Since people are using them to grow their marijuana in their basements.
Legally, actually, in many cases.
Well, right. But I mean, why would you be hiding it in your basement? Yeah. So anyway, he and I are growing tomato and peppers, but he wanted a grow tent because he's using
what's the difference between party and being out of control?
Hydroponic gardens. So they're water, not soil. And I'm doing soil. And so we've been sending Snapchat videos back and forth. Like, my plant is growing taller than yours. And it's kind of fun. But that's what we use Snapchat for. Like, we're grown adults. I mean, what do you mean? And my nieces only keep in touch on Snapchat. So
you have like UV bulbs? Is that how that works?
He does. I just did the potting of the plants in the kitchen. And they're now sitting in the big window in
like
my kitchen.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, my sister-in-law, by the way, did not know about the Martian tent, and she came home from a business trip, and the Martian tent was in the basement. And because I was visiting, she didn't let him have it as much as she probably would have if I wasn't visiting. But yeah, there's just, poof, a Martian tent in the basement.
Oh, no!
He really timed that up perfectly, huh?
He did. He also, and I don't know that he told her this, in order to make the Martian tent perfectly outfitted for growing indoors and growing what he wants to grow, he had to order these lights that he then put together. He actually built the frame for the lights, and there are specific kind of lights that you use. He ordered them from China, and the shipping was only $70. The lights were $400, but he said, this was how he justified it, if I had purchased them in the United States, I would have had to pay twice that. I was like, okay, thanks for contributing to child labor overseas, but okay. Anyway, so yeah, his Martian tent is off and running. Meanwhile, mine are just in pots, and that's what I use Snapchat for. That was the moral of the story. Anyway, you can continue to send me your thoughts on what app I have, not what app I should have. Stop sending me tweets about how I should Tinder you.
Download the all-new Radio.com app.
Maybe it's that one. No, it's not. I don't know. Do 100 million people use Radio.com? What about the CBS Sports app? Do 100 million people use the CBS Sports app? I have that one on my phone, so I would be one of the 100 million people. Yeah, I don't have a lot of apps on my phone, but if you like, I can tell you which apps I have. WWF is one of those, not WWE, but I'll do that after.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
That is the voice of the great Kevin Harlan. Makes me miss football big time. The draft will fill some of that void, but the draft is just excitement over potential. We have no idea how the guys will play out or how the draft will play out and how the guys will pan out, I guess I should say, once they get to the next level. So it's a lot of speculation, though it is fun to see what your team does in the draft and if there will be some trades. But I miss the actual football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We've got a poll up and a spot on our Facebook page. We're asking you how many QBs will be selected in the first 10 picks of the NFL draft. And I'm not trying to be sneaky here or anything, but it's not like this poll precludes that there could be trades. I mean, we've already seen the Jets move up to number 3, but we've heard talk that there could be some more trades. Either teams moving down because other teams want to move up and pick a QB, or the opposite. And so even as you look at the draft order and then you think back to last spring when it all got thrown into flux at the very beginning because the Bears wanted to move up to number 2, so they swapped places with the Niners at number 3. And then we had the Houston Texans move up and the Kansas City Chiefs move up. And so 3 quarterbacks were taken in the top 12, and all 3 were taken after their teams moved up to get them. In Mitch Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. So right now, the draft order is Browns, Giants, Jets, Browns. I don't know why that makes me laugh. Browns, Giants, Jets, Browns. So much drama in those top 4 picks.
Go Browns!
Oh, no more Joe Thomas. He's just going to be a cheerleader from now on. Then Broncos, Colts, Bucks, Bears, Niners, Raiders. But keep in mind, there could be trades. So how many QBs do you think get selected in the top 10 picks this year? I'm going 4 or more. I think this is going to be one of those drafts where teams jump the shark and they're just... they can't stand it. They just can't stand leaving QBs on the board. There's going to be a surprise. Somebody's going to move up into the top 10 to take a QB. And I don't know who it's going to be. But right now, you would think that Allen, Rosen, Mayfield, and Darnold could all go in the top 10. And maybe there'll be another one. I don't know.
I strongly agree with both of those points. And I think the Bills at 12 and the Cardinals at 15 are both desperate enough to come up and make that happen. 4 are going to go in the top 10. I agree with you. Probably 5 in the first round.
I'm going
round.
5, yeah.
Maybe
well, you think of the first round
maybe
total.
Maybe even 5 in the top 16. It's
because
possible.
Lamar Jackson right. is another QB that I would expect to go in the first round. So it's going to be interesting. Intriguing, but it's not just about the quarterbacks, though it feels like this one's got more QB drama than ever.
Not starting's, you know, it's...
What? Wait, was that just for the sniff? Oh, okay, sorry. I missed that. I was doing a lot of that when I was running on Wednesday. That and... what do you call them, Isaac? When you blow without a Kleenex? What's that called?
Snot rockets?
You call them snot rockets. I cannot call it that because I feel as though it's very unladylike. But maybe I shouldn't be talking about ladylike when I'm the one who's blowing my nose outside while I'm running without a Kleenex.
Nah, whatever.
Have you ever accidentally gotten it on you when you've done that?
Of course.
Okay,
scarves.
Good. Then it's not just me. All right, cool. So I can neither confirm nor deny that happened on this particular run, though. So speaking of QB drama, it's not just with the draft. There's another annoying Patriots report out there. Oh, my gosh. Every day. Can we not go one day without having some Patriots rumor and speculation? You know what I feel like this is about? Going back to the column, and please forgive me for not knowing exactly when this was released, but if I'm not mistaken, it was during the playoffs, right? Or going into the playoffs for the Patriots. And it was the big story. Will you remind me who the author was? Seth Wickersham, yes. There was the story about how there's dysfunction internally, and the gist of the story was that there's a power struggle. And actually, at the time, the way the story was sold is that there was an internal power struggle among Bob Kraft, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady for who would get the most credit. Now, that to me seems absolutely ludicrous. Who cares? But maybe they do. Okay. So there were some pieces of this Seth Wickersham story that came out on January 5th that I think people have seen validated or they feel like are accurate. But there have been other pieces that not only the Patriots have refuted, but have been refuted by other journalists. So it just kind of becomes who do you believe? But here's what's happened since then. Every single piece of freaking news about the Patriots seems to be the attempt of someone to kind of piggyback on top of that column.
Nobody likes the Patriots.
Oh, my gosh. It's like every day. Oh, it's a sign of more dysfunction.
Tom, I don't like New England.
Tom Brady's not going to be participating at the beginning of these offseason workouts. What? It's like the fifth time in his career that he hasn't participated in the start of offseason workouts. He's in Qatar on a camel, for God's sakes. If you could be in Qatar on a camel, you would too. I mean, what? He had to go somewhere and look really cool because Aaron Rodgers has turned the Dalai Lama into a Packers fan. There's been talk that Rob Gronkowski may retire, that he's not committed to play. And maybe that's true. But it feels like everything gets spun in such a way that it's got to be melodramatic for the New England Patriots.
You know, there's a lot of pronouns there. Like, I don't really know who's talking about what.
All in light of this umbrella, this idea that the team is imploding from the inside. Another thing that happened recently, and this is actually legit, and I feel bad saying so a little bit because I don't want you to think I'm criticizing these journalists. I'm not. Sometimes I just wonder about the sources, and I wonder about things getting spun. Everything is about your perspective. Everything is about perspective. So if you choose to see it as controversial and as dramatic and as a sign of dysfunction, sure you can. Sometimes it's just about how the story gets told. And I kind of feel like at some point, haven't the Patriots earned the equity that, yeah, great. Every single team has its bumps in the road. Every single team has its drama. But even if every single bit of this news is true, who really believes the Patriots are all of a sudden going to be a bottom feeder? Anybody? And if you do, maybe you also believe that LeBron James would come out meekly in game two against the Pacers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Here's the latest one that is annoying, just annoying beyond anything that I've read so far. Now I just laugh at them, by the way, or I throw something at the TV and walk away. I boo. We just did an entire show about the science of booing. I boo! Thank you. When these new rumors and speculation come up. The latest one is even more annoying because we've already heard from Tom Brady himself. Have people forgotten? Or maybe they just think Brady's changed his mind? Maybe. But even before the Super Bowl kicked off, Tom Brady was having a conversation with his good friend Jim Gray on Westwood One, like they do every single week when things are bad, when things are good. Tom Brady is still calling up and having a conversation with Jim Gray. And actually, this one sounds like it was done in person. And Gray was already thinking ahead to the 2018 season.
You just said you're not a finished player. You're still looking at things to get better at.
Yeah.
Does that mean that regardless of the outcome today, we will see you back in uniform playing football again next year?
Yeah, you're going to see me playing football next year.
I mean, I don't know. It doesn't sound like there's any type of wishy-washiness there. Doesn't sound like he's waffling back and forth. I get it. Danny Amendola, he's talking a little bit about how it can be difficult, and sometimes Bill Belichick can be difficult to play for. It's hard to be a Pat. But you know what? That's why they continue to win, is because they have a really high standard. And because you fall in line and you do it, like the rest of the team does, and it makes for a pretty cohesive team on the field, if not in the locker room. Tom Brady's already said he is going to play in 2018. Do we really need to speculate? All right, our phone number is 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. We're halfway through. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.